The DigitalLifestyle.com presents the Media Center Show, show 177, Thursday, 16th of October, 2018. Automation. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week on the show we're going to be talking to Jonathan Bowes from GridSearch. GridSearch is a new way of searching through videos in a very visual way, and I had a chance to sit down with Jonathan when he came up to the office in Manchester and look at the application, and it's a very interesting application and a really different way of searching through videos. And once you hear how it works and once you see the video demo, I think you'll be pretty impressed with it. So we're going to have a chat with Jonathan about what his plans are, how the application could work, and what other and what systems it can work with. I've got your email, a forum post I wanted to highlight, and a roundup of some news items. So welcome to the show. It's great to have you along. I do appreciate you listening to the show. It's why I keep doing it. And so let's dive straight into the email, and this is from Patrick, and this is a question about tuners. And actually, Patrick first contacted Hopag about a problem with his tuner card, so I'll read out the first email. I have two 950 tuners hooked up to my Dell Studio Hybrid PC running Vista and using MIDI Center. I'm experiencing delays when changing channels, and frequently the audio and video get out of sync when I'm watching shows. Is there an updated driver to fix these issues? And Patrick sent that to Hopag. And they replied and said, actually, at this time, it's not possible to have two HVR 950s on the same PC. Which Patrick then wrote to me and said, I wondered if you knew there was a better way of doing this. I'm kind of lost to why this doesn't work. Do you know people using multiple external tuners? And if so, what kind? So thanks for the email, Patrick. Thanks for forwarding that on. And the reason I wanted to read the email out is to see if any listeners are using dual external tuners. Patrick's using the released version of MIDI Center, so it's not the TV pack version, but it does sound more like a driver issue, as it works most of the time, and then you just get delays and audio syncing issues. Because as Patrick was saying to me in a subsequent email, he really likes the Studio Hybrid, and it's great as a MIDI Center system, and he doesn't want to go back to using a big machine. He also said when he had one digital tuner on the cable, his experience is even worse. So, is this could be an issue with the Dell, or is it a driver issue? So anyway, I wonder if you guys have any experience on this, and what's the best way around it. On the HP that I'm currently using, I'm using a single DVB-T dual tuner, and that's been fine. But I know people have been mixing tuner cards for some time. So let's get your thoughts on that and see if we can help Patrick out. You can email me, Ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, if you can help Patrick, or email about anything else. I do like getting emails, so please keep them coming. Now, I thought I'd read out and or highlight a thread that was started in the forums that would be worth looking at. This was started by Jason, and really it's a newbie question, but it's one that's quite interesting. It's hi all. I'm in the early design process of a project to centralise and organise all digital content in my home. My general requirements are a single repository for all digital content, music, pictures, videos, etc., DVD including Blu-ray, access to simple internet content for any connected devices, RSS, weather, etc., ability to for each entertainment zone to act independently or as a whole, ability to remotely control the process from any internet connected device like iPhone, Windows Mobile, laptop. He says he's evaluated a number of different products, Media Center, Lifeware, Nivea, Smith TV, and he believes that he's going to center on Media Center with extenders, a combination of Xbox 360 and Linksys DMA 2100 with Cat5. And he's looking for any suggestions on any pre-configured Media Center PCs that get him started, a dual tuner, Blu-ray. And he says, is there a limit to the number of tuners that a machine can handle? And does anybody have comments on his requirements or the proposed solution? Can Media Center extenders watch the same content simultaneously? We'll start with the easy one there. Media Center extenders can watch the same content simultaneously, and you can actually pause on recording and go through to another room and resume that from an extender. I also asked him about the budget, and he said that he'd like to keep the entire project under $4,000. So have a look at the thread, and he's got some interesting requirements there. Might be pretty much things that we all want to do. We want to centralize our music and pictures, and we all want to have access over the internet and those kind of things. So if you can help out Jason, and he's asking, he also details some of the rooms and zones that he's going to need as well. So if you can help out Jason, have a look at the forum on thedigitallifestyle.com. Link for that's in the show notes, and see if you can help out. Now to a few news items from in the last week or so, and this looks like a sad one. The end of the road for Recovision. Chris Lanier noted that Recovision remote had been delayed again, and it looked worse, but it actually looks worse than that. CPro are reporting that the company has essentially gone. I was impressed with the concept of the sideshow remotes that Recovision showed off at CES, but it's been hit by delay after delay. I also thought the remote was very expensive for what it does. CPro seems to think the company's gone out of business, and they said that they've tried to contact Recovision, and essentially the company's gone. I know a number of beta testers actually paid $350 to beta test the remote, and they still haven't seen it. So I think some people may have actually lost some money, which is a real shame. I think the Recovision remote was a very promising use of the sideshow technology, and it just looks like this is a technology that really hasn't taken off. I think mainly around, you know, price and complexity and so on. But the idea of a universal remote control that you can interact with Media Center, turn it, you know, control it, set up playlists and everything else is really nice. So I hope that someone will bring out one of these things eventually. Some other news. You may remember a while ago we talked to Fuse Media Systems about their Fuse system, which is kind of a hybrid Media Center system that's part Media Center and part their own custom application. And Velocity Micro have announced a release of their Cinemagic Fuse Box. They have a video demo up on the site. So it's basically their Velocity Micro system with the Fuse system running on top of that. So have a look at that, link for that in the show notes. This week there are two updates out on Windows Update from Microsoft. Both two for Media Center anyway, there's more than the two. But the two Media Center ones, one's for the TV Feature Pack version of Media Center, the other one's for the release version of Media Center. KB956147 for the TV pack version. There's a 32-bit and a 64-bit version. And KB955519 is a cumulative update for the release version of Media Center. Last week on the blog, I was speculating after I'd seen a post from EdBot about the name of Windows 7. And this week, Microsoft completely surprised me. But they'd announced the final name of Windows Codename 7, and it's actually going to be Windows 7. So the what was Windows Vista, before that XP, and before that 2000, this time it's going to be Windows 7. And it was funny that it was announced over on the Windows Vista blog by Mike Nash, who said that the decision to use Windows 7 is about simplicity. And he says, over the years we've taken different approaches to name Windows. We've used version numbers like Windows 3.1.1, dates like Windows 95, or aspirational monikers like XP and Vista. And he said, simply put, this is the 7th release of Windows, so therefore Windows 7 makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of people will be surprised about the simplicity of that, and maybe it's a kind of back to basics approach for Microsoft, and also a way of distancing the product from Windows Vista. Which essentially is going to be built on Windows Vista. I think we'll see more details about Windows 7 at PDC over the next in the next couple of weeks. Now, we all love their gadgets, and I do like the HP TouchMark, but I'm not interesting to see this week that Asus are launching a new all-in-one touch PC that could have some good uses around the home. Okay, it's not quite up to the spec of the HP TouchMark. It's basically one of the EPCs with a 15.4-inch touchscreen, but it would make a nice device for perhaps controlling home automation and doing some surfing. It comes with Windows XP Home, a 1.6 GHz Atom processor, 1 GB of RAM. I think it's got a 120 GB hard drive, So I don't expect to run Vista Media Center on it, but it will work fine with some of the web-based and the PC-based remote control applications. So for example, you could run M-Control on your Media Center system and use the web version on this touchscreen. It's going to be priced at £399 from in the UK from Play. So it might be an interesting device to see what you can do with that. Of course, with it running XP Home, you can, if you're a developer, you can, you know, you can use, you can come up with some interesting applications, .NET framework on there, and hook that up into Media Center that way. So there's some interesting potential for having that around the home, and so it's well worth having a look at that one. £400, not too bad. I want to mention I posted my third how-to video, and this video really is not aimed at you guys. This is a how-to video on how to rip a CD in Windows Media Center. So as you've all used that before, you know how simple it is, but the aim of these videos is to show new users how simple it is to get started with Media Center. So things like ripping a CD, watching how to connect it to an extender, how to record TV, that kind of thing that and the video showed off. So this is the third one, and looking at ripping music. So finally, I want to mention, don't forget the UK Media Center User Group Meetup. I'm still gauging interest in that. There's been a lot of responses back, so that's pretty good. But if you would like to go to a meetup in the UK to show off Media Center systems, there could be some manufacturers showing off their stuff, some software developers, some enthusiasts showing what they're doing, but maybe how it links in with things like robotics and everything else, let me know, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, or comment on the blogs. And if there's enough interest, we'll definitely be organizing something for early next year. So you can email me, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. You can follow me on Twitter via twitter.com/isdixon, on the blog, and on Facebook as well. Right now, so it's time for the interview, and this is Jonathan Bowes. So Jonathan, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And a very rare in-person meeting. We don't normally do these on the show. We're normally 3,000 miles away by Skype.
Well, it's as I'm going up to see my parents in Yorkshire, it's just a quick pop in to say hello.
Yeah, so we're kind of live in Manchester today. So it's either Manchester or Las Vegas, depends on wherever I happen to be.
Well, all the jet setting you do.
Yeah, that's it. It's slightly less glamorous here in Manchester. So today I'm going to be talking about grid search, and this is a really interesting application for various users. I'll let you describe it, but as we've been looking at it before we started the interview, it's a very visual application, and so to point out, there is a video on the site that we're including in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, it's one of these things that it's difficult to describe. At the moment you see it in action, you just go, oh, yeah, right, okay. Why didn't anyone think of that earlier? It's a way of navigating through video using thumbnails. It basically pulls up 9 thumbnails, and instead of fast-forwarding, you can either increase the gap size, which starts off as being a 40-second gap, or scroll down and basically have a look at the video. It's about a minute long on gridsearch.tv, and then you'll understand more about how it works. It's particularly useful for things like if you've got on the usability tests that I've done, anyone with a Sky Plus box who's also a soccer fan really gets frustrated watching Match of the Day, and they want to see their team who isn't playing until after an hour in the program. It takes a couple of minutes to fast forward at 30 times forwarding speed, whereas this, if you increase the gap size and scroll down, you can find the point you want very quickly. It's very intuitive, and I'm hoping that people like it.
So just we'll try and describe it as best we can. And so when you hit the grid search button, you get effectively 9 tiles with the video on.
Exactly. And so the default position is that it's a 40-second gap, which means that for the 9 images, you've got 5 minutes and 20 worth of video displayed on the screen. And then there's a portion of the progress bar, which shows you how much of the video is displayed on the screen, and the position of the solid portion of the progress bar shows you whereabouts in the video that portion lies. So you can then select the first tile that shows what it is that you want to see, and if you don't see anything that you want to see, you can scroll down or increase the gap size. And on particularly long video files, like the example, one of the examples I like to use is Pulp Fiction, because that's a big file. If you increase the gap size before you scroll down, you can get large amounts of video on the screen, and it's just a very quick way of navigating through.
So you would see, so if you're scrolled out on, say, Match of the Day, in the first of the nine images, you'd see a bit from the first match, and the second one you might see a screenshot from the second match.
Indeed. In the example on the website, we're looking for Carmarthen, who play in yellow. And eventually, as you scroll down, you'll see a frame that shows a team playing in yellow. So you know that somewhere between that frame and the previous frame is the starting point. And so what you do is you select the numbers on the frames are in the same position as the numbers on the remote control. And so if, for example, you see your team starts playing in frame 9, you hit frame 9, and what it'll do is it'll then split the video between frames 8 and 9. So if you've got a gap size of 40 seconds, it then splits it again, and that takes it down to a gap size of 5 seconds. And then you again select either, you have a choice, you can either keep zooming in and three hits will get you there. Or if you see a frame that you're happy to start from, if you double click that button, it'll restart from that particular frame.
So I like the idea of that. So you've got a big program, you find roughly where it starts, yep. And then you kind of zoom in.
And you zoom in.
And you're using the thumbnail of the
exactly.
Of the video.
And you choose the first thumbnail that you want to see. And for really big files, if you increase the gap size three times, it doubles each time. And that's done by pressing the right arrow on the remote control within the Media Center application. If you do that three times, then you end up with a gap size of 5:20. And that's about the most that you can get away with. If you increase the gap size any more than that, then you tend to lose detail. You're likely to miss the detail that you're looking for. And if you do that, then it'll take you four hits to zoom in, because you've increased the gap size so much that it'll take you four hits. But normally you can double click on a frame to jump you in pretty
but
much where you want.
It means really that you don't have to then, like say the example you said, or I'm watching a motorsport program that sort of compiles different events together,
yep.
And I want the touring car race at the end of the show.
Yep.
Or I don't even know where it is in the show. I just know it's in there somewhere. I'll see the thumbnail and just zoom straight down to the start of it.
Well, that's exactly it. Because using a Sky Plus box, as that's sort of a prevalent PVR in the UK, you're able to select where you last looked from, where you start the start of the video, or you can put a time into a start time where you want the video to restart. But the trouble is that relies on you knowing whereabouts it is that you want to restart. Whereas with this, with the thumbnails, you can have a glance through.
Yeah.
And for example, if you've got if you recorded something like the Culture Show and you're not sure if there's actually anything you want to watch, you can just have a quick scroll through and see if anything grabs your fancy. If there's a band you haven't seen before, double click on that while they're playing and decide whether you like what you hear, and you can either go forwards, back. You end up watching more TV, but you can be a little more picky about the TV that you do watch.
I mean, it's a visual way of finding things, which is, I guess, how Media Center works. When you go into recorded TV, you see thumbnails of shows.
Exactly, and it's one of the things which is always quite difficult, isn't it? Where you've got a thumbnail of the show, but how do you make sure that it's a representative thumbnail? In the work I've done, I've had a look at sort of the patents of people, various companies like Sony and Toshiba and what have you, and they've all got these very clever methods of doing scene detection and changes in the scene. But if you just want a nice, simple, just do it through the times, it's surprisingly effective. I can't believe how effective it is. It worked.
Yeah. Because I particularly like it, though, for the scenario you said, like with the Match of the Day thing. For me, it's the motorsport thing, but you can just kind of get close to the area you want, and then rather than go using the skip.
Yeah, and the speed, that's the thing. If even on the standard size, the 40 second gap size, What it'll do is if you scroll down, it'll scroll down two rows. So the initial row that was on the bottom goes up to the top. And I reckon it takes about a second for you to have a look at the six images and decide whether what you want is one of those. Mm. And if you're doing the six images every second, that's a 240 times fast forward speed, which, you know, and you've got no overshoot. Because that's the other thing, is that the faster the fast forward speed you've got, the more difficult it is to see what you're looking at, and the worse the overshoot's going to be when you hit play anyway.
Yeah.
So, and this gets around the problem.
So from Media Center, how do you launch it? So you're watching a file and you want to do the search, how do you...
Well, if you're just playing the file, if you hit the right arrow button on your remote control, then that calls it up. If you hit the right arrow again, that will double the gap size. If you hit the left arrow, that halves the gap size. The down arrow scrolls down, so forward in time, and the up arrow scrolls up, so backwards in time. And then the numbers, again, you hit the number on the remote control that corresponds to the number on the frame that's the first that you want to see. And if you make a mistake, which is it is quite possible to do, then if you hit the back arrow on the remote control, it'll go back an iteration. So if you decide, oh, that was wrong, you can go back. The other thing is that there's a setting where you can change this, some numbers that appear on the tiles to give you a hint as to which button to press. And the layout on a PC, if you're using a keyboard, if you've got a numeric keypad, it's 789 across the top as opposed to 1, 2, 3. So you can set the numbers, the key hints.
Yeah, to correspond to this.
To correspond to whichever you prefer, but they default to 1, 2, 3, which is the remote control.
And what kind of files can you use it on from Media Center?
Pretty much anything that Media Center will play. We've found that to be the case, although we're going into beta testing, so if anyone's wanting to download it and have a play, we've got a free 2-week trial. And any feedback gratefully received. So we found it's been fairly effective far. As long as you've got the codecs on the machine.
Yeah, so you could go with a recorded TV file or a downloaded DivX file.
Yes, I've basically use it for DivX on my recorded videos and also for the recorded TV files.
So in terms of availability then, there's going to be a 2-week trial version, you say?
There's a 2-week trial for Media Center, and then we're going to, during the beta phase, we're going to charge £5, so 10 of your US dollars, for the full-on version. And the reason we're charging for it is that we need to, well, A, I need to make some money out of it, but B, we need to get 10,000 to Microsoft to get the code signed so we can use it with protected content, because ideally... we want it to be usable with the BBC's iPlayer content, which obviously is protected, so it won't work. We can't use it for that.
So to get that, you've got to be signed, the application has to be signed by Microsoft so that it's not doing anything it shouldn't be, or whatever.
Oh, that's right. It's God bless DRM.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the case. So there is a standalone piece of software which is going to be free for just to play your videos on your PC. But if you want to work it through Media Center, then you have to pay for that. But the like I say, there's a free media player version, and at some point there'll be a version that works with the iPlayer content, but you'll have to pay for that, and that will come in. It'll just be the $10, the £5, and you get both.
Right.
We got both bits of software.
Yeah.
So it's a 2-for-1.
Yeah. So we mentioned the video. So just tell us again, where's the place to go to see
it's
the video?
It's Grid Search, which is Grid, G-R-I-D, Search, as in S-E-A-R-C-H. So it does what it says on the tin, .tv. Mm. And it's on the homepage there. And you'll need sound, but there's a quick video which shows how it works. And then there's some further detail on the website if you need it.
I mean, it's a really interesting way of doing things, different from the norm. And it is one of those things when you do see it, you go, so much easier.
It is. It's quite pleasing how easy it is to use. And I've got a very talented graphic designer, Matt Scholes, who's made it look very pretty, which I'm very pleased about. And also, I'd like to say thanks to Andrew Cherry, my developer, who's done a sterling job on it.
Yeah, and regular listeners will know that name.
Indeed, yes. Good old Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a natural way of searching for something, especially with long shows. We mentioned before I started that, you know, every now and again I rebuild my machine, so it kind of forgets programs that have been recorded, and my wife wants to carry on watching Emmerdale Omnibus, which is 3 hours long, or whatever it feels 3 hours long, and you just want to jump straight to a scene, and going through the remote is painful.
Well, exactly, and on things like DVDs, incidentally, it doesn't work on DVDs. Again, it's DRM issues, which is a shame. Although I was pleasantly surprised by how quickly it works if you've got a video, an unprotected video file on a DVD or CD, and you're playing it from your optical drive. I suspected that because it's fairly intensive pulling all the frames out from different portions, that it would only really work effectively on a hard drive, but it seems to work acceptably quickly.
I guess it would work on locally stored DVD VOB files or whatever someone's got,
yes.
Unprotected
if
DVD
you've,
content.
If you've been naughty, you've paid for your content and you want to store it wherever, then yes, if it's unprotected, then you can use it.
Yeah.
So as long as you've ripped it, it'll work. But what we did find was we were trying to make it work with the Xbox as an extender, and we were finding that really wasn't satisfactory because of kind of the latency in the system. When you fast forward on your Xbox and you see what you want, it jumps back. Microsoft have got a nice little jump back feature, so it gets closer to what you want. And unfortunately, without something a bit clever in the Xbox, we're not going to be able to make it work. But I can see potential for this also on, as we were discussing earlier, about video on demand, because I think if you've got a client talking to a server and you're doing the heavy lifting of generating the 9 images on the back end, then that would be a very effective way of navigating for video on demand. So we'll see how that pans out, but I think there's great scope there.
Yeah, definitely, I could see that. So that would be done on the server side, so it would just be there as part of the streaming application, yeah?
Exactly, yes. And so you'd obviously need to have some software on the client side, but it wouldn't need to do very much heavy lifting, so you don't end up spending a fortune on every single Sky Plus box or whatever. You can do it server side.
Yeah, you get the code. And so, and I guess the same would work for the sort of the video on demand web stuff, really. So you could have it as a Flash client on the client side in the Flash player, and the lifting is done, like you said, on the server side.
That's it's something we're looking at for the future, but at the moment the main thing is to see if we can get it out into the Media Center community and get some feedback and just make sure that everything works.
So once people have got the beta and started using it, is the place for the feedback on the website?
It is on the website, yes. If you can give any feedback, you know, if you like it or don't, it's always good to hear both sides of the argument. And if there are features that you think really would be quite useful, I mean, hopefully, it's very simple, and I think that's part of the appeal of it. But if there are things that would be useful for you to have,
it is simple, and it's one of those things that just you don't need to read the manual for it to work.
No.
Or it's just plain the obvious
to
work.
Just have a play and away you go. And it's past Andrew Cherry's spouse acceptance factor, and I've got friends with kids who love using it, so it's not just the likes of you and me.
The kids like it because it is very visual, and you can find what you want.
Exactly.
For the kids, I guess it's a natural way of using it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, many thanks for your time today. It was great seeing you in person in up here in Manchester. So I'll include a link for the video in the show notes and the website and everything else, and I'll be really fascinated to hear how people get on with it, and we'll do an update on the future show when you go live with it and have new products and whatever.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for your time. It's been great to meet you.
Thanks, Jonathan. The video and the link to the GridSearch website are in the show notes. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. My blog is on thedigitallifestyle.com, and you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/isdixon. Don't forget the UK user group feedback, and if you want to do product reviews or anything like that, get in touch. Thanks for listening, I do appreciate it, and I'll see you next week.